Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing everyday payday, coupon culling, and the demise of thrifting.
Yeah, having a payday every day sounds pretty nice.
You're talking about the candy bar?
Do you like the payday? What is that?
I don't know if I've ever had one.
Is that
what's in there?
Peanuts and caramel?
I want to say peanuts and caramel.
That sounds like it's right up my alley, actually. That sounds like one degree off from a Snickers bar. Yeah. That's exactly what
you always castigate me for this, but I'm more of a Three Musketeers guy.
Oh, my. Yeah. The gross, plain
They're
nougat.
Delicious. You're clearly wrong on this.
It's just fluff. There's no actual substance in
delicious,
there.
Delicious, delicious fluff.
You would think every day being a payday would be a good thing. We're actually going to talk about that story, plus several others that we're going to get to during today's Friday Flight, where we wrap up the week's news. But you've got a note here about Googling news. What's this all about?
Okay, so this is kind of a tip to everybody. I think most people know this at this point, but just in case you don't, there was a story that I wanted to read for this week's Friday Flight, and it was, I'll go ahead and say it, it was in Fortune magazine, and
behind that paywall.
It was behind the paywall, and I was like, dang it, well, I don't necessarily want a subscription to Fortune magazine. It's not one of those periodicals I'm perusing as frequently as some of the other ones that we read.
Although, I feel that we could afford to go ahead and do it.
It's true.
Maybe we should go ahead and pull the trigger on Fortune.
Maybe. But I Googled
that being said,
and found it on Yahoo Finance, the whole thing.
Yep.
No paywall. And so that's just a classic good tip for people who want to read things that aren't free. Obviously, this doesn't apply to everything. If that's that Substack article you want to read, you can't Google it and find it in all likelihood. But for some of the major publications, you can read that article for frizzle. You don't have to pay a dime.
And oftentimes, specifically through Yahoo.
Yes.
Like, they're really good at taking other people's stories.
Aping them. And then
yeah. And I don't know how they're allowed to do it, because literally, if you search the same headline, it'll pull up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's the same story. I guess as long as they give them credit, maybe they're allowed to do that.
Yes.
But yes, that is a good tip. It makes me think back to, if you use Safari on Macs, you can flip it into reader view or reader mode by hitting Shift Command R. And what that does is sometimes if there's like below the fold or like below the break where it wants you to enter in your credentials, when you flip into reader view, it gets rid of that. And so you can oftentimes see the entire story that way as well. Although I will say that used to work more, and I feel like a lot of sites are actually cracking down on that. It doesn't seem like that works as much. But I still use that view because it's an awesome way to read stories without getting distracted with ads or videos. Just the countless amounts of things that are trying to grab your attention while you're sitting there reading. And you can do it in Chrome as well, because I remember looking that up.
They got reader view apps for Chrome too, right?
Yeah, well, it's a part of like their experiments. Basically, it's like in beta mode, but if you just Google how to turn that on,
right?
Yeah, well, no, it's not even an add-on. It's built into Chrome.
Oh, okay.
So there's no add-on. You just have to activate it. And they say, hey, just so you know, this isn't fully functional. It's like the Death Star at 50% operational capacity, but that is how you can do it with Chrome as well.
There you go. That's how you read some free stuff. By the way, if you want to know how to get free How to Money episodes, all you got to do is click play. It's
just hit subscribe.
So much simpler.
You'll get it every time.
You don't have to. No paywalls to get around.
Nope.
So, all right, Matt, let's move on. Let's get to the Friday flight. A sampling of stories we found interesting this week and how they're going to pertain to your personal finances. We're going to get to that story about everyday paydays here in a second. But first, it turns out it's cheaper to travel to Europe right now than it's been in something like 20 years. And that's because the euro and the dollar have just reached parity. And that basically just means that $1 now equals 1 euro, whereas I remember the last time I went to Europe, it was like $1 equaled
$1.30.
Yeah, something like $1.20, something like that.
1 euro. What do you say in like 1.30 in euros? It's not $1.30, it's euro 30?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess, I don't know.
I forget. But
it's been a minute since I've been to Europe.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time for me too at this point. I guess the last time was like 2015 or something like that. But the dollar has been strengthening in recent months, right? And the euro has actually been sinking in value. So this isn't necessarily a great thing for some multinational companies, but it's certainly helpful for folks who want to travel abroad and who want to spend less on everything from food to lodging, just touristy stuff.
The dollar is stronger.
And so your trip is cheaper. So let's say you're signed up for something like Scottish Cheap Flights and you're seeing deals to Europe and you're like, I can get across the pond for $400 now. That's great, right? That's amazing. You should snag it if you're so inclined. And then realize that your whole trip is going to be something like 18% to 20% less expensive than it would have been just a year ago because of Europe's declining currency.
That's right. Yeah, this is one of the stories where initially when you see the headline, you're like, all right, what's that really matter to me? But in reality, it actually is a relevant story. This will have an impact on your ability to spend less while you're over on your European vacation.
Every gelato is going to be just that much cheaper and that much more enjoyable, right? Because it's less expensive.
That's right, yeah. But let's say you're not going to Europe because you refuse to take all of your vacation time. If that's the case, then we might recommend a vacation accountability partner. A new CNBC article, they recommend finding someone at work who can encourage you to take time off to actually use that pay time off, that PTO that you've been given, and vice versa. Because obviously Americans, we are notoriously terrible when it comes to ditching work. The average person leaves more than a quarter of their allotted PTO days unused. And we really don't like that approach to work and time off.
Yeah, it's true that all work and no play makes us dull human beings.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, keep in mind that this is a part of the benefit package that your employer offered you back when you were looking at all the different offerings that were laid out before you. Pay time off, that was a big part of that package.
Fielding all those job offers because you're so wonderful.
Exactly. And now look at you. You're afraid to take that time off. Yeah. We want you to use that time off. Otherwise, you're just leaving it on the table. But there might be some folks out there who are saying, well, it's difficult for me to get away from work. So many people count on me.
They need me.
And what I would say to those folks is you might need to get over yourself because, yes, you are important. Yes, you do a lot of great work. But I think your workplace is going to really be able to function without you.
For a week or two, they can survive.
Absolutely. And then thirdly, you're going to be better at your job after a break. Work is a great thing. We are all about work and the value that you're able to bring not only to your employer, but to other people. But making meaningful time for play, right? Especially with close friends and family, we feel that it is necessary in order to be a well-rounded human being. And so you just might need someone to help remind you. in the moment of just how important it is. And so make sure to get that vacation accountability relationship or partner going if you need it.
Okay, Matt, this is actually, we're living out what we preach. We're practicing what we preach, because as people are hearing this episode, you and I are going to be at the beach. We record ahead of time, but we're not overdoing it, man. We're not working 50-hour weeks in order to prepare. And we prioritize our vacations and time away with family. And we do think it makes us better podcasters. There's something I was thinking. My friend Jack wrote a piece recently on his site Young Money about how a writer, to be a good writer, you can't just write. you have to also go out there and live life and experience things. That makes you a better writer. And I think the same is true of us. The more we go out there and live life, we become better podcasters. Mm-hmm. and vacationing time away is part of that. Well, here's the thing though, if you do go on a trip and you have an animal that you need someone else to watch, pet sitting costs are on the rise. If and when you do go on vacation, boarding rates are up quite a bit, somewhere in the 10 to 15% range. That's according to industry trade groups.
And also, I bet a lot of that is because of what I'm going to call pandemic pets. Like, demand has gone up because of all the folks who they're sitting at home by themselves.
Got a puppy.
And they thought, man, I could really use a puppy or a little kitten. And now that puppy or that cat, they're 2 years old and you just want to get out of town.
Yes, yes. And so I guess I would suggest, one, maybe for folks to try to find someone in their neighborhood who's willing to do pet sit swaps, kind of like you and I do date night swaps.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to save you a lot of money. But if you can't...
Add another cat to the litter.
Yes. If you can't, it's going to cost you a little bit more. And so, yeah, Matt, we just moved into this new neighborhood, and mm-hmm. we're at the beach this week. And so we had to find somebody. We went through this website called Rover, and we found somebody really close by. But the great thing is we'll be able to use them in the future for even less money. I think we're paying $16 a visit, which for a guy who's
pretty good, right?
Pretty frugal like me, though. I just hate it, though. I hate it. But apparently they'll like take selfies with your cat or something and send them your way.
Okay.
Which I don't really want, but and then they'll do other
if they can find your cat.
Yes But hopefully on our next trip we'll be able to have some new neighbors that we're now good friends with, maybe do this for less money. A neighborhood kid who likes cat sitting for less than $15 a visit.
Sure.
Or whatever,
like my kids, for instance.
Sure.
Except
yeah.
for the fact that our family is we coordinated our trips, obviously. Yeah. So that while y'all are at the beach, we're also at the beach with our extended family. But yeah, you gotta make sure you tap our kids as well to
do it.
They need some of that
as
additional...
long as they're not charging $15 a day. I'm in.
Oh, I'll be like, all right, Evie, 11, $12. You want to get in just under the wire?
Make it worthwhile to change.
Finding a way to increase some of the responsibilities of our kids. Like, they earn money around the house doing things for us, but it raises the bar when you're doing that for somebody else, and they haven't really done that yet. They've sold lemonade and different things like that. Like,
they're getting to that
lemonade
age,
stands.
Yeah.
But when they're actually taking on some of these smaller jobs like that for neighbors, I think that's kind of the next level. I mean, literally, it's the next level before getting your first actual job outside of the home. It's just kind of fun to start thinking down that path a little bit. Let's talk about gift cards here real quick. This is going to be your friendly reminder to use your gift cards as soon as possible, partly because so much of the money that's on gift cards actually never gets used, as folks completely forget about them.
Shoved in the back of your underwear drawer.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. But also because the value of those nefarious pieces of plastic, they are getting eroded more quickly right now. That's one of the mostly unforeseen consequences of us experiencing over 9% inflation. And so we would suggest using your gift cards before they're worth even less. If you've got ones that you likely won't use, we would recommend that you go ahead and sell them. Sites like Card Cash will buy your unwanted gift cards. They'll give you actual real fiat currency in return.
Not fake, chump change, Bitcoin-esque sort of products.
Not Voyager coins.
Right.
So don't let those cards go unused for months or even years longer. The downside to some of those sites, though, is that you're not going to get 100% of the money that's on that card. It depends on how popular that particular retailer is going to be. But a lot of times you'll get 90% of that value. So that's sort of the downside. Or you could see it as an upside because, hey, 90% in hand and as cash is way better than 100% losing that money because either that card expired or it's something that you completely forgot about.
That's right. Yeah. So do something with those gift cards. But the longer you let them sit, the value, just like the cash that you have maybe hanging out in your wallet is losing value because of inflation, so are your gift cards. But let's talk about some good news, Matt. What goes up must come down, right? That is kind of a reality of physics, a reality of the world we live in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the decline in gas prices last week, which is good news for everybody. Those cars continue to come down. I think I saw in California, gas prices, the average price of gas has now come under $6 a gallon, much to the relief of many people there.
Oh, my gosh.
I think even like 10 gas stations in California are under $5 a gallon, which is
good for them.
Good news. And it looks like gas prices are going to continue to go down for the foreseeable future. We'll see how that pans out. But rental prices are finally starting to soften across much of the country as well. There was just no way that rents could continue to go up 20% a year on average, right? It happened for, I don't know, a little over 1 year, mm-hmm. but we're finally starting to see rent declines in some of those cities where rent was rising the fastest. And so, I don't know, the things like recession vibes are starting to have an impact on prices across the board. And I say vibes because we don't know whether we're in a recession or not yet, but a lot of people are feeling like we're going to be, or we might be in one. So if your lease is coming up, know that in many markets, you have more consumer power than you had just a few months ago, whether that's with your current landlord or one just down the street. But this is like a welcomed relief, I think, for renters. And hopefully for their sake, we're going to start to see the market calm down a bit and become a little more favorable.
Simultaneously, though, we're seeing those declines in like the hottest, like the very hottest cities like Miami, San Diego, Honolulu. And so if you're living in a market that may not be as popular, you may not have quite as much sway over what you might be able to ask from your landlord.
Yeah.
I just don't want folks to get overly cocky because they're like, oh, no way, rents are going down. And like everything, there's a good way you can ask for a discount and a bad way you can ask for a discount.
Don't just give your landlord an ultimatum and be like, see, Matt and Joel said this. And so now I want to... a 10% rent reduction. He's like, well, that's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
It is good news that there is going to be more bargaining power, I think, for lots of folks.
It seems to be slowing down. Exactly. Yeah, let's talk about thrift stores for a second, because the Times just published an article stating that the golden age of thrifting is over. And first of all, we love thrift stores. You know, thrifting saves you money. You're often able to get higher quality stuff than you'll get at, let's say, like H&M.
Ooh, or H&M dig.
Other Zara, I think they're the top
European version of H&M,
fashion
right?
company out there.
H&M, they're European also? Yeah.
I think so. But either way, it doesn't matter where they're based, what they're doing to contribute to the way that we're consuming clothes in particular is not the best thing for our planet nor for people's pocketbooks. And that's because the cheap stuff that you get at retailers like that, within that sphere of the market, it's pretty much crap. It's not meant to last very long at all. And the Times article says that this is exactly the problem that the thrift stores are experiencing. They're rife with the fast fashion cast-offs than ever before. And so while you can still find some cool stuff, you can still find some quality stuff, some of those thrift store finds might be better off in the trash. They're having to spend more time sorting through all of that crap. They're having to hire more employees because they are being inundated with fast fashion.
Yeah, for sure. And Matt, I like never shop at Old Navy. But recently...
Why are you hating on Old Navy?
Well, I think they're part of the fast fashion crap clothes trend, for sure. Yeah, a lot of their stuff is just so cheap, it's almost not worth buying. And I was reminded of that recently. I literally had not bought an item there in a lot of years.
Are you going to talk about this? Did you get some shorts?
I got some shorts,
man.
Yeah,
you're talking about how you saw some shorts on sale.
Within like a week and a half,
the
hemline on one of the legs just kind of came completely undone. And so it's not that they're completely unusable, but it just reminded me like, dang it, Joel.
One leg's a little bit longer than the other.
Yeah, I was like, I want some inexpensive shorts. And then I was like, you know what? When you go cheap, oftentimes you're disappointed. And so it's, yeah, sometimes those fast fashion items there, they get misshapen really quickly. Or maybe, yeah, the hemline does come undone, or they just fall apart, or more prone to get like holes and stuff in them. So I still think thrifting is a good idea, even if the selection isn't as good. And I think it's just worth it for people to pay more for higher quality items that are going to last for longer periods of time. I have been doing that more and more with this Old Navy exception, just buying pieces where I'm like, I think I'm going to wear that for a long time, and I want it to look good and like hold up over, you know, hopefully a decade. Plus, I'm still wearing stuff, by the way, Matt, that I got at the thrift store when I was in my 20s. Like, some of these shirts are probably 40 or 50 years old at this point. A lot of my plaid classics. And so, I don't know, man.
That's what you call them. My plaid classics. Emily calls them your thrift store shirts.
Yeah. But I think it's fun to go get that stuff at the thrift store. And plus, you just kind of stand out from the crowd a little bit when it comes to your wardrobe.
The exact same stuff everyone else is.
Yeah.
So I was about to tell my version of the short story because I actually kind of splurged on a pair of shorts. But actually, maybe we'll save that for another episode.
Okay.
But man, one of the things I've been thinking of recently as well is I wonder, like when it comes to thrift stores, have the thrift stores changed or have I changed?
Okay, that feels like a deep existential question.
Well, the reason being, because when we were in high school, I'm sure when you were in high school as well, it was not out of the ordinary to go with your friends or while you're in college, you would go to the thrift store. It was fun.
Oh,
you would save money. And it was just a part of the cultural experience. It was a part of coming of age, essentially, is what I'm saying. And I don't know if that's the case now for kids. And so I guess I wonder, is it less attractive to go to the thrift store because the value proposition has changed at thrift stores because they don't have the goods anymore?
Yeah.
Or is it because I've changed? Is it because I'm older? I would rather spend my time doing other things with my life than hunting for a really nice shirt that I'm only going to pay 75 cents for. Actually, I mean, that's like prices 10 years ago. It's probably like $3 for a really nice quality
shirt.
Man, last
time I was at the thrift store, I was shocked that some like t-shirts are obviously still like $2 or $3 or whatever. But like
other stuff is more.
Yeah, collared, button up, long sleeve shirts are just like more than $5 now.
Got to go there on a Wednesday.
Like, I guess so.
When all the green tags get the 10% off or whatever.
So hopefully, I don't know.
I say that though because I hope that all the Zoomers out there are still going to the thrift store and there are finds that they are happy with.
Yeah, because it's still just fun. Like the thrill of the hunt and the thrill of a bargain. There's like no place like the thrift store for that. So, all right, Matt, we've got more stories to get to, including that one about getting paid regularly, like daily. We'll talk about that and why it's actually not a good thing. And we'll hit up a few more stories too, right after this. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break. We're going to talk about getting paid here in a second. But it is now time for our ludicrous headline of the week. And this particular story from The Verge, it was on a radar, I guess, maybe about a year ago. But now the proposed idea is reality. We talked about how everyone and their mom, they seem to be offering a subscription model now, whether it's for streaming services like we talked about on Wednesday, or for software, or for socks.
Oh, man. There's everything out there. Right?
Joel's a fan of the meat subscription services that are out there.
I don't subscribe to one.
Ruining his budget.
I saw there was a bacon subscription, and I was like, if any subscription model is going to get my dollars, it's going to be that one. But
I was reading the story.
I held off.
And the guy they're interviewing was talking about how he's just feeling the pinch with the higher prices. Uh-huh. And he was complaining about having to cut back on some things in his life. And he mentioned his meat box subscription. And I thought, oh my goodness.
You can take my meat box subscription over my dead body.
The things that we have grown accustomed to.
Right.
And again, we're all feeling a bit of that subscription fatigue, but that doesn't mean that companies aren't still wanting your recurring payments. And BMW is now charging, officially, they are charging a monthly fee for the heated seats in your car in a bunch of countries over in Europe, like the UK. They're doing this in Germany, in New Zealand as well. You can pay $18 a month in order to get your butt heated up in the winter, or you can pay the better deal by paying $180 for the year.
Everybody wants you to pay them on a monthly basis. It's not enough that you buy the $50,000 BMW. They also want $18 a month so you can keep your butt warm. I wish this were a joke, Matt. I do, because I guess one thing you can do to get around it, BMW at least offers the option to pay for unlimited access for a one-time fee of $415.
I missed that. Was that a one-time annual fee?
No. There was an annual one as well, and a three-year one. They're going like with different tiers that you can access. And so, I don't know, just a heads up, it's not going to be long before this sort of paying for auto amenities comes to the United States via BMW and probably other car manufacturers. I think this is going to be a trend that maybe, but hopefully not, catches on. And I hope that How to Money listeners and other consumers respond appropriately. They kind of give the Heisman to any of these companies that are trying to take our dollars in this way, because if the equipment is already installed in the car, to charge me a fee to use it when I've already paid a pretty hefty price for the car. We talked recently, Matt, about how the average price of a new car is almost at $50,000. It's between $47,000 and $48,000. Mm-hmm. So to think that I'm going to pay that much and then pay you on a monthly basis for more stuff associated with the car, right. it's ludicrous, honestly. We're getting to that point where it's just absurd, and I don't like it.
It's an appropriate story for this segment. Yeah. So here we go.
And I wouldn't pay for it. I would just warm my butt up with my own hands through friction.
Just... What's that guy doing over there in his Beamer?
Why is he rubbing his butt?
I'm pretty sure that's just Joel warming up his bottom.
That's right.
Okay, here we go, because I am actually going to maybe step up and defend BMW a little bit here.
Oh.
Because here's the thing. If you're going to spend that much money on a BMW, like $18 a month, that is not a lot of money. Like you would gladly spend that much money on a nice bottle of beer. And if you can afford to buy a brand new BMW, I think for those folks, it's just a drop in the bucket for the most part, right? And so I say this because I don't want to yuck on somebody else's yum. And just like some people might hear us say, oh, Matt and Joel just dropped $25 on a single nice big bottle of beer.
It's true.
And it's just like, well, that means something to us.
It's totally fine if you want to buy the car with the heated seats and it costs more. I don't mind that.
So here's my argument here is I think there might be somebody out there who just wants some fine German engineering. And they don't want the latest cutting edge technology. They don't want all the they want the performance that comes with driving that kind of vehicle. And for those folks, it might be a nice little tiered system that allows them to get the car, but without all of the additional add-ons
but it's
baked into the price.
But it's being installed. The equipment is installed on that. Like the
right.
What's done is done. But to access it.
But that's what luxury is all about, man. It's not necessarily that there's something tangible that you're not receiving. It's like, well, I almost see it like the discount airlines, like Spirit. Because a lot of folks will knock them for charging you. They're nickel and diming you.
I'm fine with
right?
that, though.
Like every single thing.
Because they're charging you less for the ticket up front.
Yeah, well, I think BMW's argument would be, well, it would be a more expensive vehicle across the board if we were going to, you know, allow everyone to have access to all of these features.
But it wouldn't be because they're installing them on all these cars. They're just,
I'm not going to completely go to bat, but I do like that people have the option to make the choices that they want to make, obviously, as long as they are upfront about the pricing. Just like with Spirit, as long as you know what it's going to cost you to bring that carry-on onto the flight, if it's a gotcha, I am not okay with that.
Right.
And if BMW, if they make it seem like that you've got all of these things available to you, but then they're like, oh, I'm sorry, by the way, that's going to be an extra $20 a month. I'm not down with that.
Yeah.
And it seems like that they are being transparent and that folks know what they're getting into.
Well, it's definitely something people need to watch out for, be aware of, because
all the ballers out there
might start to see more of it
rolling around in the Beamers.
Right. Yeah. They're probably not going to do it on the Toyota Corollas.
And all of our BMW owner listeners have turned the podcast off.
All right, let's move on, Matt. Let's get to that story that we've been talking about, the one about getting paid every day. And this is the article I referenced early on in Fortune magazine that I read for free on Yahoo Finance. And they had an article about how younger workers are wanting to get paid every single day. And 61% of Gen Zers surveyed said they would like the option at least to get their paychecks on a daily basis. But then that begs
that's
the question.
A lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people who want their money every single day they work. But is on-demand pay a good thing? We would say not necessarily. And it's not that getting paid more frequently is a bad thing in and of itself, right?
I like the principle of it. Like, there's nothing about that
a day's work,
with.
A day's wages, right?
Yeah, there's something kind of like super old school, like almost like biblical about getting paid for the work you're doing on a daily basis.
I completely agree.
On principle, I agree. But in practice, that's where it feels kind of funny.
Exactly. It feels like the reason that people want to get paid on a daily basis is so they can spend their money more quickly.
Yeah.
And so I think of this as like a behavioral domino effect that gets created here. If you get paid every day, you're more likely to dip into those funds and you're less likely to save and be prepared for a financial emergency. And go banking rates found in another survey that folks who get paid more frequently, they are more likely to be living paycheck to paycheck. And so, I don't know, getting paid every day can make it more tempting, like I said, to spend that money when it hits your account. And I think part of that, the results from that Go Banking Rate survey, Matt, it could be because folks that get paid daily, it just happens more frequently at lower income jobs. So that could be the correlation there. But I don't know, I tend to think that there's something good about the weekly or biweekly paycheck cycle. It helps people to budget and plan better. So be careful what you wish for. If your money hits your bank account every day, you might find yourself in an even more precarious financial situation.
Yeah, basically it feels enabling because it doesn't, it's not a muscle that these workers are having to flex. It's not something that they're having to build up. What does it look like to be able to build up some margin within your budget? What does it look like to have to plan 2 weeks in advance or 4 weeks in advance? It actually makes me think of food, right? Like getting paid every day, in my mind, is sort of like the same thing as like snacking just throughout the day, and you don't actually eat any meals. And not only are you snacking, but you're eating like convenience food, like chips, just other empty calorie crap, basically, as opposed to thinking through what you're going to have for dinner, going and buying those groceries, going through the process of cooking that meal, and
finding a good recipe,
and sitting down and actually enjoying a delicious and nutritious meal. There's a lot lost when you're just sitting there, just kind of just like filling your face full of junk food,
just downing Soylents because you don't want to think about it.
Exactly. And so it's hard to quantify, but there's something, I think there's always going to be something lost when we're opting for convenience and immediacy. Yeah. And I think the same thing can be true when it comes to our money as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the thing is, though, it doesn't apply to people who own their own business, right? Like that, this is only people who work for someone else. But more and more
that's
of the
true.
Workforce in the U.S. is working for themselves, which we think is a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stats show that more than 10% of folks in this country are now self-employed, which is the highest level in 15 years, Matt. And that's something we get behind.
All about that.
But here's the thing. Self-employed folks, they need to plan and save even better than people who get paid every 2 weeks in order to balance out those potentially infrequent paychecks. Although this is a very good thing for our economy and for those individuals in the long run, we think. So I don't know, whether you're becoming a consultant or a small business owner, working for yourself has just a lot more upside than staying at your day job. The transition to working for yourself, it's not always so easy though. So having some financial runway is crucial, but we're always going to be the kind of guys who cheer on the person who wants to strike it out on their own. Small businesses and entrepreneurs kind of make this country go round. They help drive innovation and ingenuity. And of course, a lot more folks are considering it, are transitioning to that. But I think more people should consider that. And so we're always going to point our listeners to at least thinking about going out on their own at some point in the future.
Absolutely. Let's keep moving, man. Last week, we talked about stamps. Coupons, they're kind of like stamps, aren't they? Both sort of feel like a relic of a bygone era. It's not just a feeling anymore, though. It turns out that retailers are offering fewer coupons, according to the Times. And the Weekend newspaper, which is also in decline, is sporting fewer coupons than it did just a couple of years ago. Digital coupons, on the other hand, are becoming more mainstream, but they are still not growing as quickly as physical coupons are decreasing. Now, we love saving money here at How to Money, but that doesn't mean that we cut coupons. I'm sure I have at some point, but I definitely don't cut coupons today. But more power to you if that's your thing. But they can be, I think, more hassle than they're actually worth. Mm-hmm. The only time I use coupons are the 20% coupons that you get to Lowe's, 20% off coupons for like Home Depot or
if
Lowe's.
If I get one sent to me in the mailbox like that, I'm going to use it. But
by the way, so oftentimes
you're going to save a lot more with a 10% off at Lowe's than you are with like 50% off some rice or something like that at the grocery store. Some of those grocery store coupons are just, they're so small.
Pennies on the dollar.
In savings that it almost, how much is your time worth?
Exactly.
You gotta ask that question.
Yeah, so I got to talking about Home Depot there for a second. We both moved recently. Did you get one of those packets in the mail from, I think, like the post office where you get all the coupons? I didn't see a Home Depot or Lowe's coupon in there.
They used to always
send those out, because I remember back at our old house, I would go into the post office, and Miss Jones, one of the ladies that would always work there, she knew that I would like to come in and get those change of address envelopes, and she would just sometimes give them to me because I would, at the time, we're doing a lot of home improvement, and I was all about getting my hands on those 20% off coupons.
Those coupons saved real money.
Oh, big money.
And I know some people
they must have stopped it.
Right. I know some people use the circulars, the Sunday circulars and the coupons that are in there to save some money. I guess just it's harder to save enough to make it worthwhile. Although there are other digital apps that will scan your receipt to help you save more on the back end. Mm-hmm. Stuff like Ibotta and Fetch. Those are two worth checking out. And my friend Michael, he actually wrote about how he has, I think in like 6 or 7 years, made $3,500 in cash back. Woo. Using those apps. He's a single individual, no family, and he has made that much back on his spending. So we'll link to that article in the show notes, but it's worth reading because, I don't know, Michael's been a money-saving fiend for years now. I love following his stuff, and he kind of touches on things that I'm not as into or familiar with.
Stuff that you're not willing to.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guinea pig for some of those things, but I appreciate that he is. And so, yeah, he's just like, he's crushed it using those apps to save himself a bunch of money.
Yeah, and plus those apps, it's a way to bring that couponing spirit. Like, if you're all about that couponing game, Ibotta and Fetch are a way to bring it from like 1982 to 2022.
Yes.
Basically. All right, Joel, let's go ahead and round this thing out. We talk about death here on the show from time to time.
One of my favorite subjects for some reason. I'm not obsessed with it, but I am interested.
Well, I mean, the older we get, the more of a reality it becomes.
That's
and
true.
We talked a good bit about that on Monday with our friend Jordan. He's been a hospice doctor for a long time. We saw an article this week in the LA Times that talked about the fact that Chadwick Boseman, how he died without a will. And this is, you know, it's tragic that Chadwick died so young, but hopefully we can all learn a lesson from this, because dying without a will is something that we want you to avoid, because it severely complicates life for your loved ones as they are in a state of mourning. Not only that, but then they have to deal with the state if your estate is intestate.
There you go.
State. Three times in a row. And what this means is that basically your estate, it might not get distributed the way that you would like it to. And so if your situation is complicated, and so what I mean by that is if you've got a lot of assets, if you've got a lot of family drama going on, then you're going to likely want to hire a lawyer who specializes in wills and estates. But if not, and I'm guessing for the vast majority of folks, you probably don't have to do that. And for you, there's a site called freewill.com that you need to check out. Do your own will. Com. That's another highly rated site worth checking out. Regardless if you feel like you're going to die anytime soon, because chances are nobody thinks they're going to die anytime soon.
Yeah.
But this is something that you need to get on top of.
I had a vision, Matt. 3 weeks from today, I'm going to die. So I really need to get on that. No, I'm just kidding. But that's...
It would be terrible if you actually did.
I know.
if you actually did.
Let's hope that doesn't come to pass. But no, I think that this is really important. And those two sites you mentioned allow you to create a will, a state-specific will, for free.
Full frizzle.
And that's one of the things I think that holds most people up from doing it is they don't want to take the time. They don't want to go see a lawyer. They don't want to pay lots of money. And I
get it. I don't want to do all those things.
Me
either.
Neither.
But
no.
Chances are you don't have to do those things, most likely.
And these sites make it easy. And basically they charge you nothing to get it done, which removes those barriers to entry. And now it's like, okay, now you have no excuse not to create your will this weekend, right?
Yep.
So when you read those stories about other people who passed away and the trouble that it causes for their families, when just some basic due diligence, creating a will, taking an hour or two of your time to make it happen, spending none of your money even to do so, it's a really important part of thoughtful personal finance planning. So
that's right. It's a part of growing up.
Uh-huh. So enjoy your will creating this weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday for a new batch of listener questions. And yeah, we hope you have a great one. Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.